Sorry, sorry, little bit of a tech glitch happening. Wait. Hello and welcome to the live stream. Sorry, a little bit of a tech glitch was happening. Like the computer is taking some time to respond. I don't know what is happening. But if some glitch happens at any point in the live stream, please let me know in the chat so I don't keep talking like an idiot while you guys don't have any idea what I'm saying. I hope audio and video is all okay. If it is, then welcome. And this is Vimo Live. I'm Vimo, and this is live. It happens every Wednesday at 8 p.m. and every Saturday at 8 p.m. We talk about religion, atheism, Indian culture, contemporary affairs, and stuff like that. If you want to support the show, which you should, if you can, I'll talk a little bit about one particular thing that I want to detail with respect to the payment situation. But if you want to support the channel, you can do so by clicking the join button below and become a member of the channel. Or you can go to my website, www.vimo.in, and click the support button there. Or you can simply send money through Vimo at UPI, VIMOH at the rate UPI. The thing I wanted to talk about is that it's a little complicated because it makes me sound a certain way that I'm really not. But I noticed that some people are sending something like 10 rupees or 14 rupees and stuff. I don't want people to send money if you are not able to. I know a lot of people donate very small amounts to online content creators because they really believe in what they're doing, and that is very much appreciated. But I will have to request people that if you are not in a position to spend money on an online content creator, you don't have to. My content is free and you can always watch it for free. I will have to request that anyone who's sending, if you're for, let me send a benchmark, baseline. If you are unable to send anything more than 100 rupees, you don't have to send me anything. It's okay. I'm not saying this ki 100 rupees se kam nahi chalega itna paise, but I'm just saying ki it feels to me like if someone is sending less than 100 rupees, it may be the case that they are unable to spend more money. And if that is the case, you don't have to. It's perfectly all right. You don't have to send anything less than 100 rupees. So with that out of the way, oh, also there is a Patreon, patreon.com/Vimo, where you can support me also. Before I proceed, let me just tell you that there's a link pinned to the top of the chat. Since today is Saturday, we will be taking callers. There's a link pinned to the top of the chat. If you click on it, you can come on screen, join the queue. If you are here to talk, please go into the private chat section and tell me what you want to talk about, so I have some idea about what order to take people in. Already, okay, Kale Chips is already here. Before I get to them, let me just read a couple of comments. Akshat says, "Hi Vimo, can you please point out similar words between Bihari language and Odia and Bangla?" I do not speak Bihari. I speak Odia. I don't even speak Bangla, although I understand some of it. So I will be unable to do so. In order to compare words between three languages, I will have to know all those three languages. So yeah, sorry, I can't. What I do know is that the Odia word for water is pani, and the Odia and the Bengali word for water is jal. Pani is closer to Sanskrit than jal. So, Harish says, "Why do many people say BJP really developed different states of India? Is it really true?" There's a very easy way to determine this, right? You can do research on the specific claims that they're making about that development. Why is it the case that somebody says something and you're suddenly like, "Is it true?" You can always look it up, right? If someone is just saying BJP did development, you can say, okay, what did they develop? And then you can Google it, and then you can find out the data. So I don't really understand what is the, like, the question is too generic, is what I'm saying. Ashish says, subsidy discussion today. Haan, Ashish, aa jao, screen pe aa jao, link pe click karke. Surya says, Vimo, would you support a uniform civil code that is secular, not based on religious text, example, Manusmriti, Sharia, and affirm equality with respect to marriage and gender? अरे भैया, पहले इनको कोर्ट, मतलब बिल तो लाने दो पार्लियामेंट में. वाई आर वी टॉकिंग अबाउट फैंटेसी फुटबॉल? लेट द बिल बी टेबल्ड. लेट अस सी व्हाट दे आर डूइंग एंड देन वी कैन टॉक अबाउट इट. आई डोंट सी अ पॉइंट इन डिस्कसिंग दिस. इफ यू जस्ट वॉन्ट टू, लाइक, यू नो, हैव अ स्पेक्यूलेटिव आंसर, या श्योर, एनी यूनिफॉर्म सिविल कोड विच मेक्स लॉज इक्वल फॉर एवरी सिटीजन ऑफ इंडिया विदाउट इम्पिंजिंग ऑन द कॉन्स्टिट्यूशनली ग्रांटेड on the constitutionally granted exceptions to their specific community, like tribal communities, etc., I have absolutely no problem with. Madhu has asked, any way to recover all corrupt money from political leaders? I don't even know what that means. What is corrupt money and political leaders? Like, what are you talking about? And in the absence of that answer, I think Joy Boy's answer will work. Madhu says, Joy Boy says, I'm pretty sure we have to find 6 infinity stones and the gauntlet for that. Otherwise, that is not possible in reality. I wouldn't be so pessimistic. Sahil asks, OMG 2 Dekhi. No, Sahil, I haven't watched it yet. Although I have heard that some Hindu group has said that जो अक्षय कुमार को थप्पड़ मारेगा उसको 10 लाख रुपए देंगे. इफ आई कैन जस्ट इशू समथिंग इन पब्लिक इंटरेस्ट, अक्षय कुमार को थप्पड़ मत मारो, अक्षय कुमार तुम पे केस करेगा, उस केस में 10 लाख से ज्यादा खर्च होंगे और जो 10 लाख प्रॉमिस किए गए वो भी नहीं देंगे ये लोग. तुम्हें क्यों लगता है ये लोग खुद कुछ नहीं करते और पब्लिक बोल, अरे कोई कर दो रे जाके, हम पैसे देंगे तुमको? क्योंकि ये लफड़े से बाहर रहना चाहते हैं, ये तुम्हारे बच्चों का फायदा उठा के अपना पॉलिटिकल उल्लू सीधा करना चाहते हैं. कुछ ही नहीं होगा अक्षय कुमार को थप्पड़ मार के. Anyway, let me take on Kale Chips. Hi, Kale Chips.
Hi, you can
reduce the volume of the thing.
I'm hearing my voice.
Oh, actually, let me just switch my device. It might be my mic.
Yeah, I can hear you. Go on.
Right. Is this better?
You have to say something. I'm still hearing my voice.
Is this better?
I'm still hearing my voice, by the way. Do you have the live stream playing on your phone? Kale Chips? Okay, I'm not hearing his voice. I'm only hearing my own voice.
Is this better?
Testing.
Testing.
No, I'm still hearing my voice. I don't know what is happening. Just turn off YouTube on every device and listen to this. Okay, you figure it out. I'll come back to the next caller because I'm still hearing my voice. Let's take Ashish. Hi, Ashish.
Yeah, hi, Vimo. How are you?
Good. What's up? Kya chal
raha? Bas all good, bro. So I wanted to basically, it's been some time since we last discussed this. But I noted some points, but I came outside now to my hometown. But still, okay. I thought I'll just join in and talk to you.
Okay.
So yeah, the point which I wanted to talk is last time when we discussed, right? We said that, you know, the goal should be, I mean, this is my argument over there, that in, by the way, one thing I'll tell, that this discussion right now can happen later also, in the sense that there are more important problems which you guys are working on, which is like, hey, fighting misinformation and, you know, the community violence which is happening in the country.
Don't worry about that. Just raise your point.
Yeah. So my point is that for subsidies, you know, and for to better run the governments, there are two things which have to be done. One is you have to increase revenues and you have to decrease expenditure, right? Subsidies being one of the expenditure. Okay. I mean, and if you see how the what used to happen in, let's say, 1990s, then Rajiv Gandhi said in the parliament that I give 100 rupees to people, for people, and what gets in the hand of people is just 1 rupee. So even at that time, government was spending money, but it was not reaching well. Now we have much better schemes like direct benefit transfers and Aadhaar related things. Not one government did it, many governments.
Got it.
It's not about Congress, BJP or other
thing.
Yeah. So my point there is, Vimo, that and I think in the last call you also agreed that there is always a scope to sharpen the pencil, right? So that's what I was saying. Like, I'm not hard pinned on this point that, hey, completely stop the misuse of subsidies and I'm giving a magical solution to stop the misuse of subsidies. No. What I'm saying is that there is always a scope to, you know, ensure that more subsidies go to the people who deserve it. By the way, there is one stat, Vimo, which says that more than 70, some states are spending more than 70% of their income on three things, which is either either salaries of the government employees or the pension, or the third thing is the salary, pension, and interest for the loans which they have taken. So this causes, you know, leaving very little money left, you know, on important things like education and health and other stuff. So that was whole of
so
my totality of my point.
What is
so
the
solution
to that,
solution to that is two-pronged approach. One is, you know, to increase the tax collection from the riches. Like, you know, as I was mentioning in the previous call also that, you know, there is government land, which is, if you sell it on the market, it's being sold for much higher value. But what gets in the registration is much lower value. So government ends up collecting much lower tax. Like, ek koi, suppose land ka market value uska transaction 1 crore mein ho raha hai, but jo land records mein register hota hai wo roughly 10 lakhs ka ya 1 lakhs ka hota hai. I'm just exaggerating it, but in some cases it's a reality that you know, the registration which we are doing and associated stamp duty and the property taxes and the other stuff which the governments are getting are much lower. So one solution is to collect more taxes, you know, to basically stricten the rules and collect more taxes from the rich. And the second thing is, don't just give blind subsidies in the sense that, hey, see, if I form a government tomorrow.
So I'm just trying to get to narrow the scope of this because it's kind of going up in a lot of directions at the same time.
Right, right.
You agree with me when I say that the rich should be taxed more? Correct.
Of course, that's what I said. Like, I gave a solution.
I know. Listen. You agree that the rate should be taxed more.
Yeah.
You agree that there are people who need subsidies, otherwise they don't get access to basic resources.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
So we are in complete agreement. We think that people who deserve subsidies should get subsidies. We think that the rate should be taxed more. My main contention is that we have been talking about subsidies for three episodes, right? Aaj teesri baar.
When is
the day going to come when we are going to have a conversation about what are the exact things we can do to have the rich pay more taxes?
Yeah, so
we don't have that conversation. Our entire, like, your middle class, I'm middle class, supposedly, our entire discourse is focused on ye garibon ko bahut mil raha hai.
No. I never say that way. So
I know you don't say it that way.
Yeah,
but it looks right.
No. What I'm trying to say
that is the thrust of our conversation.
Right.
Why is it that most of our time is spent wondering? The money's go. You agree that the money should be given. You're just disagreeing on. Kitna dena chahiye, kisko dena chahiye, vagaira vagaira. Right.
So we are spending so much time
on that we are not giving any time to the other thing.
Right. No, I have thought about some solutions for how to better tax the rich and you. I'll talk about that also, Vimo. But on the other part, right, that how some of the governments are running their schemes. Let's. I wanted to talk about that also. See, there is one way to you know, run a government that you come. Let's say you took power today and you say, hey, let me give 10,000 or some 20,000 rupees to everybody. I don't care. I will just give the money to all my people in the state. So there's one way to run this government. And what you would do with that is that you would increase your debt burden. You know, maybe you will not, the present government will not face the brunt of it, but the coming governments will inherit so much debt. And then they have to... They have to work hard to increase the tax and reduce the debt so that the interest outgo of their reduces.
Again. Look at the general thrust of your conversation. You are concerned that the poor might get too much.
No. I'm not saying the poor might.
You're worried that the problems might arise for a government. I'm saying we have gone
through
the details
really.
Of this.
Not really, Vimo.
What did I get
wrong? So my concern is very simply this, that when somebody is running a government, there is, like, you know, as I'm saying, like, there is a very plain stupid way to run the government that, hey, let me give money to everybody. I don't care. Rich, poor, middle class, let me give, you know, whatever money I have. You don't care about how much tax revenues you are getting. You don't care how good you are spending the money which you are getting. So I am from middle class, right? You are also from middle class. So how do we run our own houses, Vimo? That, let's say, we are earning certain amount of salary, right? Mm-hmm. So there are only two ways you can become better in life, right? That you either increase your earning, your salary, or you reduce your spending. Simply that. So since I'm middle class, I think that way. And in one of the calls, you mentioned that, hey, yeah, Ashish, you have a very typical middle class way of thinking.
The problem,
and I agree with you.
I agree with you that I am middle class,
and I would think middle class way. Yeah, yeah.
When you say that we need to reduce spending,
right.
I agree with you. What we disagree on is which spendings you are trying to cut.
Yeah.
I would argue that our governments give a lot of subsidies to the rich also. I have never heard one argument about how that needs to be curbed. Yeh ameeron ko bahut mil raha hai. Main middle class logon se ye nahi sunta hu kabhi bhi. Na hi tumse sun raha hu, na apne ghar mein sunta hu, na kahin bhi. We always hear about how the money that is going towards the people who are not rich is too much. Isko thoda kam karna chahiye. I'm talking about the general thrust of the conversation. The details we can go back to. We have already had two conversations about it. But if I look at the broader picture, it is always about नहीं सरकार सबको दे रही है, इन लोगों को दे रही है, उन लोगों को दे रही है. इट्स नेवर स्पेसिफिकली अबाउट द प्रॉब्लम दैट यू अग्री बाय द वे इज अ प्रॉब्लम व्हिच इज दैट द रिच डोंट पे इनफ.
या बाय द वे द रिच रिसेंटली द मोदी गवर्नमेंट रिड्यूस द कॉर्पोरेट टैक्सेस. आई एम अगेंस्ट दैट. वी शुड नॉट रिड्यूस द कॉर्पोरेट टैक्सेस.
या एंड व्हाई आर वी नॉट हैविंग अ कन्वर्सेशन अबाउट दोस? व्हाई आर वी टॉकिंग अबाउट सब्सिडीज फॉर द लास्ट 3 एपिसोड्स? I'm not saying start talking about it right now or that you have bad intentions. I'm saying right. that our general way of looking at things always comes down to if there are 5 spends, right? If there is rich ko paisa milna, garibon ko paisa milna, essential services, healthcare and education, the one thing that we middle class people always think is optional is helping the poor.
No, Vimo, I completely get your point. You always, and this has been a theme of your talks, right? I listen to you a lot that they always talk for the marginalized. And I agree with you fully. You know, we should do that. We should always fight for the marginalized because nobody else is there to fight for them. So if you don't stand for them, who else would? So fully agree.
Yeah.
But my point is that there are some governments, some states who are running it bad that, you know, they are just whatever money they are spending, they are either like old pension scheme, right? Some of the states are starting it that, hey, let's give pension. Like in 2004, we started the new pension scheme by which, you know, it was changed that, hey, let's the government employees start taking care of their own retirement. Government would help them to set up some schemes, but we won't be giving out pensions the old way used to do. But some states fight it for it, and in some states, the parties who promise that, hey, we will reinstate the old pension scheme, governments, they form the governments over there. But nobody thought about what could be the long-term impact of reinstating the old pension scheme and, you know, state finances down the road. So those are the things I'm talking about. And yes, I agree with you.
And I was pointing out that those are the only things you're talking about.
Yeah, sure. I'll try to talk more about the marginalized also and fight for them. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Chalo, I'll move on to the next caller if that's okay.
Sure. Yeah, that's okay. Nice conversation. Sure.
Bye-bye. Bye. Thank you. That was Ashish. Ashish is removed. Next caller is let's try Kale Chips again. Hi Kale.
Hello, I hope this works this time.
What's up? Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, great. Great. It's been a while and a bunch of stuff has happened since the last time I was on call. I think like the Twitter rebranding and the flying kiss. And I also wanted to talk. If you're you used to work with this YouTube channel called Epified, right?
Yes.
There was. So if you're allowed to, would like, could you tell about what was the political leaning of the channel back then? Because I saw a video on the channel on Nathuram Godse. And the video talks about him like just like a person who had reasons for doing what he did instead of
I know. I was a right winger then.
Okay, so like the whole channel had the same mood?
No, like it didn't. The channel had a bunch of people. I was the head of that channel, and editorial decisions were up to me, so I allowed that to be put out.
Okay.
Yeah, I should not have.
Right. Yeah, because so that's what I was wondering, like how much of this is
who's involved? I've done a lot of shit in my life, man. I'm not proud of all of it. That one would be one of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I also wanted to just mention the Beer Biceps situation where he interviewed a bunch of politicians, and he has his own channel. He doesn't really, I don't really get to see him talk to other people like outside the setting of his podcast. And there was one time where I did get to see it, and I just wonder when people ask him, about the stuff that he talks about, like all of the tantric, pseudoscientific, right-leaning stuff, but nobody directly confronts him. Like they'll ask him, he'll say that I understand what I'm saying and nothing that I say is not for views, but they don't then sort of prod him to ask, do you understand what the consequences of these things that you're doing for views are? Like the conversation always
the people who invite him on their podcast don't invite him because of his political expertise, right? They invite him because he has a lot of views. So
yeah,
if I was to talk to Beer Biceps, I might ask him something like that. But people who invite him on their podcast because he has a lot of followers and a lot of, you know, subscribers and he gets a lot of views will only ask him about that. So their conversations don't even go towards the value judgment part. It is purely about the mechanics of it. And if the mechanics involve picking up a popular topic and, you know, making a video about it where you don't question and you even encourage the terrible practices that thing seems to encourage, then yeah, that's not at all, the values behind it are not at all something they're going to focus on.
It doesn't look like that though. Like even on the, like when Ranveer says that everything that I say is only for views, I think he's doing that with the consciousness that like people don't think he's saying good things or inviting good people. Like it's not just,
well, it was a longer conversation and I have not seen it, but I have seen that part. And even within that part, he seemed to backtrack a little where he said like, everything I do, I'll do anything for views. And then he says, no, I won't do anything for views. I think he said the thing and it appears true to me. But if he took it back, who am I to say that? No, he should not have taken it back. And the first part was true and the second part was not.
I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but I would love to see him get confronted on, like, do you realize what you're doing?
I don't think he's going to get confronted. And if he ever finds himself in that situation, I don't think he's going to be able to defend himself very effectively. That's not his skill set. His skill set is being pleasant, regardless of who's sitting in front of him. And that's, like, sometimes you should not be pleasant to the person sitting in front of you.
He just jo bol raha hai uske samne wala, he just
kuch bhi, go on, just nod and agree.
Just one more point, I think it'll be a short one. Did you have a phase where you were also like had admiration for Elon Musk and just kind of for the stuff that he was doing?
No. I mean, so when you say admiration, if you are referring to the cult fandom level stuff that is happening, I have never had that for anyone in my life.
No, not just that, but like just like Tesla is basically a really good company, and electric cars, the idea that his motive for starting Tesla is to not stop, but do his part in stopping climate change.
Hmm.
And his motive for...
He says that there's a motive. There's a difference between someone saying that this is my motive and the thing actually being their motive. Like, Teslas are expensive. They're not within everyone's reach. So clearly that part goes out of the reach. And then Tesla has been promising other things also, like self-driving cars. He has promised like 4 or 5 times. Next year tak ho jayega, ab tak nahi hua hai. And then there is the other nautanki where he encourages right-wing nonsense, etc. So I don't think Elon Musk ko admire karne ke liye Tesla is ground enough, if it is ground at all.
Right, so you didn't have that phase.
No, I don't think I had that. I could be wrong. Maybe when I was younger, I used to look up to some people. But I don't think since college, I have had the kind of admiration that some people have for Elon Musk. I don't think I've had that for anyone.
All right. Yeah, that was all from me. I covered everything that I missed since last time.
Good. Right. Thanks, man. I'm glad you got over the audio issues. It has been a while. Chalo. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Kale Chips. Let me just, before I take on the next caller, let me just thank Amit Matthew for the $10 super chat. Missed a couple of shows because work has been hectic. Glad to catch this again. Thank you, Amit. Yeah, you were missed. And thank you again for the contribution. Chikur Chuchumb, thank you for the 200 rupees. Not bad. Not sure, but heard that Singapore... that at Singapore, it is rule that any housing society or apartment shall allot housing as per racial ration of Singapore. If such things are applied here, then ghettos might disappear. I don't think Singapore should be our ideal. India is a very different country from Singapore. And even economically, the size of Singapore enables them to do a lot of things that would be frankly impossible in India unless states had more autonomy. And given this government ke lakshan, we seem to be going in the opposite direction. States have fewer controls over what happens in them. Abhi to jo naye laws aa rahe hain, uske andar bhi they're giving more control to the state, to the center than the states. Chikur Chuchum ka ek aur 100 rupaye ka super chat. Udta hua teer pakad lena suna tha, lekin udta hua kis pakad lena pehli bar dekha hai. Arre, you have to understand why actors are put in political parties. वो इसलिए होते हैं पॉलिटिकल पार्टीज में क्योंकि तमतमाकर गुस्सा होने का ढोंग करना उनका स्पेशलिटी होता है, इसीलिए इनको रखा जाता है. और क्या स्किल सेट लाते हैं ये लोग. अजिंक्य कामत वांट्स टू टॉक अबाउट द एवरीथिंग ऐप. जेवी वांट्स टू टॉक अबाउट विवेक रामस्वामी एंड रिजर्वेशन फॉर ऑल. ओके, लेट्स टेक जेवी. नो सॉरी, उससे पहले है और लोग. अरे जो हो वो लोग प्राइवेट चैट में जाके टॉपिक बताओ किस बारे में बात करना है. बट लेट्स टेक दिस वन. हु इज दिस? मोटी. हाय मोटी.
हे, हाय विमो, गुड इवनिंग.
गुड इवनिंग, व्हाट्स अप?
या, आई एम डूइंग वेल, हाउ आर यू?
गुड, व्हाट्स अप? क्या बात करनी थी?
या, सो So I wanted to know your views on movies like Kantara, and recently there have been many podcasts by Ranveer Alabadi on Black Magic, where he brings this guy named Nandi. I don't remember his first name. Okay, where he talks about this Black Magic and stuff, possession, etc., etc. Since I come from Uttarakhand, I have seen these things very closely. That the local deities, they have certain names. They are, you know, certain sort of what I would say, environment is made up, and a person is then supposedly possessed by these deities, and then he or she answers your questions, etc. I've seen that very, very closely. Even that happens in my family also. Okay.
Okay. So what exactly have you seen?
Sorry, what?
What exactly have you seen? You've seen deities.
Deities, or you've seen people getting
you've seen actual supernatural occurrences, or have you seen, you know, belief in such supernatural occurrences?
No, what I'm saying is that I don't know if you have been to Uttarakhand or not, but you might have seen, like, so there are these local instruments, they are called dhol and damo. Okay, so they are used to chant some mantras, and devis supposedly start possessing certain people. Okay. And then these people since now that God has entered their body, they will answer your questions or they will just dance and go away. Okay. So my question is that I have seen so many movies on different psychological disorders, including multiple personality disorders. There is a schizophrenia, etc., etc. So what I personally think is that these people are for sure suffering from some sort of mental disorder. Right. And that is the reason why they are behaving this way. Okay. So my question is that what are your views on it? As in, I personally feel it is stupid.
Yeah. So
that person should be going to some psychiatrist.
My view is kind of, my view is kind of adjacent to yours. I think there is significant amount of evidence to suggest that a lot of religious experience can be traced back to natural reasons through neuroscience. There is documented evidence of people speaking in tongues who were not actually speaking in tongues. They were just blabbering. There is other evidence that says that sometimes when people speak in languages that they don't know, it is because their subconscious mind already had a good hold on that language on account of having heard it a lot. As far as movies like Kantara go, it's a work of fiction. There's a difference between Kantara saying that gods exist and Ranveer Alabadia in a non-fiction podcast discussing with someone about how supernatural entities exist. Ranveer Alabadia is presenting it to his followers as truth and reality. Kantara is not doing that. I have not seen Kantara, by the way. I'm assuming it does not, it treats the gods as supernatural reality within the framework of the story.
So just to give you a little background, Kantara basically talks about this festival. It's called Bhutakola, which is celebrated in areas of, I think, Andhra Pradesh or Jharkhand, where this they have their local deities. Their names is Guliga Deva and etc. They have certain names. And the director, Rishabh Sethi, before making this movie, he went to this Bhutakola. He worshipped those deities and then he made the movie. So basically, he took the blessings from those deities and made
this promotion
movie.
Hota hai. Usko promotion bolte hai. That's Adipurush ke Adipurush dikhane ke time pe cinema hall mein ek seat Hanuman ke liye chhodna. The hilarious part was the one of the someone from in the cinema hall business, someone in the cinema business said ki arey pura hall Vandar Sena ke liye chhod rakha hai ki agar koi nahi dekh raha picture ko. So filmmakers do a lot of shit to promote the film. I don't want to comment on whether the producer or the director of the film actually believed in it. I'm just saying that there is a place for supernatural storytelling. And then there is people spreading supernatural claims as if it is the truth, which is what Ranveer Alabadia is doing. I agree with you that a lot of it can be because of mental issues or, you know, neurological conditions. But yeah, on that, we don't disagree. But yeah, there is a difference between a film showing something supernatural and a podcast saying that the supernatural is real. I've talked about this before also. I think we need to get better at processing fiction. We need to understand that stories are stories.
Because like nowadays, at least in my area, I have seen many people, and even there are some of my friends who are very, very orthodox in these terms. They're talking about Kantara and saying, and citing it as a source and saying that, oh, you know, now deities are getting covered in the movies and all. I'm like,
movies are not documentaries. Like, you should ask them. Realize that they're not documentaries, right? They're works of fiction. And you should probably respond to, okay, listen, I know you guys have your religion, but the true religion is the force. And when they say, where is the evidence of it? It got covered in that film called Star Wars.
Yeah, no, actually, I then played the movie in front of them. And there is this,
disclaimer?
Before the movie, there is this poster, na, where they disclaimer, where they show that it is purely a work of fiction, etc. Yeah. And then they are like, oh, no, that is not the case. I'm like, dude, come on. You can't do that.
Yeah, it's astounding to me that grown men and women are adults at any rate. Are looking at a story and saying, oh, my God, this is totally real. I just hope they never watch Marvel movies.
Because personally, nowadays, even I try to question a lot of things because I thankfully had a very good chance to have my undergrad in a liberal arts university of India. So I got introduction to these critical thinking courses and it really, really challenged my thinking in many ways. But yeah, eventually, and again, there too, there were many things like even in your channel, you have a demystified law of attraction, etc., etc., and many of these supposedly pseudoscientific
urban superstitions.
And and then came across Richard Dawkins. I saw his podcast with I think Al Jazeera. He has that video on YouTube also. And then
I would, if Richard Dawkins is what you're talking about, I would highly recommend a discussion about Richard Dawkins on the Rationality Rules channel recently. Unka most recent video hai. Please go watch it.
Sure. And then like there are many books, and again I had my major in science also, so that further strengthened that view. Not the way things should be done.
Morty, can I move on to the next caller?
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks so much.
This is the first time I've been live. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. No issues. Come back. Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That was Morty. We don't have anyone called Rick in the chat, unfortunately. Let me take a look at the private chat. Sarthak wants to talk about striking down of affirmative action in the USA and its alternatives comparisons with India. Sarthak, you're up. Sarthak. Okay, Sarthak is does not seem available. I'm not removing him from the queue, because if he comes back, I'll try again. Before I move on to someone else, Rahul Dikshit, thank you for the 400 rupee super chat. Hey Vimo, keep up the great work. I sometimes feel people of faith are basically banking upon the idea that they don't want to feel responsible and thus seek solace in idea of a greater power controlling the events in their lives. Yeah, a lot of religion, like trauma and sorrow and grief, play a huge role in the upkeep of religion, because religion has since a long time defined itself as a solution to all that. So yeah, that does tend to happen. But thank you, thank you, Rahul, for the 400 rupee super chat. Much appreciated. Then there is, I have JV. JV kind of wanted to talk about the same thing. Hi, JV, you're up.
Hey, Vimo, hi. Can you hear me?
Hey, yeah, I can hear you. Go on.
Yeah, just quickly, do you know about Vivek Ramaswamy? He's running for president on the Republican.
Yeah. I've seen some speeches by him.
Yeah, basically he's going around saying that, look, affirmative action is bad for the country. We should go about repealing all of this. And this is coming from a person who has taken advantage of reservations for thousands of years, goes to a different country, and then says, oh no, black people, you should not be getting affirmative action. So yeah, what do you think about it?
I think in every culture, you'll find some members of the minority who find it useful to pander to the majoritarian biases in order to rise up in society. This guy would seem to be one of them. We have people who have, I don't want to name names because it's still a terrible thing to do. We have news anchors who are Muslim, who are extremely supportive of the BJP. There are black Republicans in America who are basically pandering to all the talking points of the American conservative movement. This guy would seem to be the same, or yeah. In any case, his lived experience is very different from mine. So I do recognize the pattern that is involved in him saying what he's saying, but his lived experience as a brown person in America is very different.
So my second thing, this second thing I want to talk about was now this idea like reservation for all. And essentially, it just means reservation for everyone.
For nobody.
Reservation
for all is a reservation for nobody.
But what that also means is that reservations for all means OBCs get 50%, Brahmins get 5%, the other high caste gets 15%, etc. Whatever is the proportion of the country's demographics, right? Go by just that proportion. I think there are two important questions there. What happens to question of merit, right? If you do something like that, if that was the question, and then we say that, look, leave it up to the communities to decide for themselves whatever that merit needs to be. So if, for example, Brahmin says that the cutoff needs to be 99%, fine, it's 99% for the Brahmins. if the OBC say, oh, this is an engineering profession or whatever, and you know, if you're coming from this particular caste, then your cutoff is whatever, whatever, etc. Okay, so that's point one on merit. And the second one is the question on the creamy layer, right?
Okay.
That question also you leave it for the individual communities to decide what they want to do with creamy layer. So if they want to say, oh, let's remove the creamy layer after tool generation, fine. If you don't want to have a creamy layer, fine. Does this
concept, what is the question?
The question is, will this idea sort of resonate with people in general? Because right now the conversation around reservations seem to be that, look, I get 97% marks, right? But I don't get a seat, but that guy, he gets 81% and he gets a seat. And I think the entire issue gets muddled there, because reservation is not that easy a topic to discuss. But if you say reservation for all, I don't think anybody should have a fundamental problem in just trying to understand the issue.
No, but we agreed that reservation for all is reservation for no one, right? There are certain inequalities in society, and reservation is a way to undo the effects of that inequality. If you start giving reservation on the basis of population to everyone, which has kind of started to happen, and I don't think it's a good trend, then it means reservation for no one. So when we talk about merit, you brought up merit. I don't think merit as a category even decides anything. It's an upper caste response to reservations for caste-based reservation. Merit, we have plenty of people who come from upper caste backgrounds who score very highly, but are still blithering idiots. What happens to merit there? How much merit does a billionaire's son have to inherit his political office or his business? So I don't think a reservation issue is hard to talk about, as long as you understand that it is a way to undo the effects of an unequal society that has been divided on the basis of caste by upper caste people for centuries. That's it. It's not hard to talk about.
Okay.
That all?
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, JV. Thank you. That was JV. Let me take a look at... Okay, we still have time. Sarthak says, sorry, I don't know what happened. Sarthak, do you still want to come? We had a conversation with JV. It was kind of sort of about what you wanted to talk about. Let me know in the private chat if you still have some other point. Okay, Sarthak says yes. Let me take Ajinkya and after that Sarthak. Ajinkya, you're up.
Hey, hi, Momo.
Hey, what's up?
Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah. I can hear you.
So... first time talking to you. I've been watching you for like 6 months now.
First time? I think you came before, right?
No, we haven't spoken. I just...
Must have been in the comments. Must have been in the comments or something. Okay, cool.
So, yeah, I just wanted to talk about the fact that something that no one is like talking about when it comes to the Everything app, which is we already have like a bunch of Everything apps, you know? For one of the most ubiquitous ones is... it does the web browser, but also Google Play services. They are exactly what Elon would try to do to make an Everything app happen. You have Google Pay. You log into your phone. You sign in. You get your identity through Google.
Yeah, but Google Pay does not have the audio video entertainment aspect, right?
YouTube. It's just a different app.
That's not a Google Pay. Here's what.
Google Play, P-L-A-Y.
Google Play. Google Play Pay. You don't get content on Google Play, right?
No. So the entire concept of an Everything app, which comes from the Chinese Weibo. WeChat, is basically, it's just an app that lets you do Google Play type services in one single app. It has its own app store. It gives you an identity. And the whole reason it's so big in China is because China did not have Google Play services and they had to log into every single app separately, creating a separate profile, linking your payment ID, everything. And WeChat actually like made that seamless. They started by introducing this feature wherein you could send a gift card on their chat services, and that's how they got like a lot of people.
I think the reason WeChat is popular in China is because they don't have access to anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but so it's the not, same concept.
It's a little like a reservation, right? The Chinese online space is reserved for this one app. It's not like if someone does not like it, they can go elsewhere. So regardless of what happens, people have to use it for everything.
Yeah,
that's the true. Problem with Elon Musk trying to create an everything app is that he won't have that kind of governmental support, which he shouldn't. He's an idiot. He'll ruin everything. He shouldn't have that kind of governmental support. But even if he did, now that he does not, there are always going to be other apps in the market that people, someone says, yeah, so X is there. I can do live streams on it. I can write posts on it. I can talk to people on it. I can send and receive money on it. But am I really so stupid that I think that X is going to continue paying me money when it is owned by a man who does not pay the rent of his own offices? So maybe I want to create a backup on Patreon, on Buy Me a Coffee, on Stack, on any other service. Sure, they may not have all the features that X does, but in the rare event that X collapses, I will still have a place where I can get paid. So the Everything app only works in China because the Chinese people have no other option.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think someone pointed out on Mastodon some time ago, we already have the Everything app. It is called the web browser.
Yeah.
It works cross-platform on every operating system. It does not restrict access to certain websites. It is based on independent protocols. It has worked since the beginning of the World Wide Web. It is the web browser is the Everything app.
Yes.
Anything else?
Yeah, there was one more thing I wanted to clarify about affirmative action in the US. So affirmative action in the US does not equal quota in India or reservation in India. No one should be correlating those two. And the thing that they have struck down is you cannot have like a blanket racial thing, but you can on case by case basis give people admission based on their race. And I've been in admission committees in the US before, and all the decisions they make are case by case. There's nothing blanket.
Okay. Then what has changed?
I mean, it's just from my perspective, it's just, oh, it's a moral victory, dog whistling kind of a thing.
Moral victory for whom?
Moral victory for the people who think affirmative action is wrong.
Is?
You know, wrong.
Wrong. Okay.
Who want to portray this thing of
the
saying,
only reason. Oh, yeah, so they only only reason I compare affirmative action to quota system is because on maybe the most tertiary level, it is about keeping in mind that not everyone has equal access to resources and making some kind of adjustment for the people who don't have access as much as the dominant categories do. That's all. I have never said it's exactly the same thing, but it is comparable definitely.
Yeah, it is comparable. I'm just saying it's not one-to-one comparison, which a lot of people make a mistake of doing. And from my perspective,
they're not,
it's just...
It's only a mistake to compare them if I'm making an exact comparison. I can still say it is like the quota system without saying it's exactly like the quota system, right?
No, the goals are perfectly aligned. I mean...
Yes, that is all I mean when I compare them. Yeah.
Yep.
Anything else?
The goals are perfectly aligned.
Ajinkya, anything else?
No.
Cool. Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
That was Ajinkya. I think he's commented quite a lot in the past, but first time here. Thank you, Ajinkya, for coming. Most welcome. Thank you to Kaushik Kar for the 100 rupee super sticker. Much appreciated, Kaushik. Really. I'll just remind everyone else that the channel is monetized. If you want to support it, you can do so by becoming a member by clicking the join button below or send a super chat like so many people have done today. I'm an independent content creator, and whatever money you send me helps me buy books and software and pay my bijli ka bill and internet ka bill and buy food. By the way, I just forgot to tell you, I have this. In the beginning of this year, I made a resolution that I will not eat food from outside, like samosa, kachori, jalebi, sab band. I stopped eating biscuits and other snacks also. And I started eating salad for lunch. And I have, for the most part, stuck to it. I'm keeping to my resolution, and I think I will be able to get to the end of this year with it and then possibly beyond it. But the one cheat day I have is second Saturday. Today is second Saturday. I'm allowed to eat whatever I want on second Saturday. I usually order from outside. But there was a problem because I also do this live stream on second Saturday. So I have to order food at 8 so that it gets to my home at 9, and 8 is when the live stream starts. So if I order food at 8, when the food comes, I'll have to run to the door and the live stream will get interrupted. So I have moved my cheat day from second Saturday to the Sunday after the second Saturday. So tomorrow is the day when I will eat puri, kachori, pizza, and, you know, I'll order from outside. And I think I will even eat, hold your breath, biscuits. Taste, like, one of the biggest struggles with doing something like this is that your body cries out for some taste, like on a regular basis, and it takes a lot of practice to deal with it. But anyway, enough about me. Wow. Okay, so I won't be able to take all the people who are here. We are already at the 55 minute mark. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people. Everyone, please go to the private chat and tell me what you want to talk about. Mohit, please don't share links there. I don't think I'm going to click on any links there. So there is Ved who says, rational discussions, just want to invite you as my first talk. Ved, you can send me an email. We don't need to talk about this. You can send me an email at vimo@vimo.in and we can go there. Nick wants to talk about a movie. We already talked about OMG2. I have not seen it yet. So I think we can skip that, Nick. Sorry. Let me remove Nick. Nick, you can come back next week and we can talk about it if I've seen the movie. Ved also, I will remove. I'm sorry. Abhi, matlab, sach mein, bahut ye nahi hai. I need to remove two more people. But let's see. Let's take Sarthak. Hi, Sarthak.
Hello. Finally, I joined.
Okay. What's up?
Yeah. So I'm a law student. So basically, mm-hmm. my work is to get into the nitty-gritty of details. And I mm-hmm. want to continue the conversation about reservation, which was okay. being said by the previous person, I forgot his name, that there's a difference between affirmative action and reservation.
Thank you.
So on reading some cases about, let's say, the US history, I don't know about the Indian penal history, but the NOA country versus Virginia County, I think that's the case number. Where
Are you a lawyer in US law or Indian law?
I haven't read the Indian law, so I wouldn't consider myself anywhere near that
Do you practice law?
No, I'm a student.
You're a student of law in the US and you study US law?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So while I was just thinking about it philosophically, and a large part of law is philosophical in nature, I think the core issue, even though the goals align, they're still very mm-hmm. different in the sense that an Obama's daughter, which is very, very privileged, not by the color of her skin, but by mm-hmm. her family background and what else.
Her father's political connections and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think affirmative action does not a much better job, but the best job in taking her into consideration for the reservation thing. Because in my own personal experience, I completed my 12th grade in Indian high school. And a lot of my friends as well, who were way from like very influential, some politicians' kids from, I think, SC, ST and OBC, one of the three, castes. I don't know what
categories.
Categories get into very good admissions with all the privileges. And I just thought that they're taking a very deserving SC, ST, OBC person's seat. I think affirmative mm-hmm. action takes that into account and does not have that kind of disadvantage. There's other philosophical arguments against reservation, but can you respond to that?
I would say that the example that you gave about Obama's daughter kind of sort of applies here also, although it's not that it's a bit of a stretch to say that, like, it's like there are people here who say that if Muslims are disadvantaged in India, then how is Shah Rukh Khan a star? And it goes the other way also. If Shah Rukh Khan is a star, does that mean there is no disadvantage to Muslims? No, there is.
Hmm.
The fact that one person from a marginalized category has managed to make a name for themselves in the national landscape does not mean that social inequalities disappear. the fact that Obama was president and his daughter is super advantaged does not mean that everyone who is a person of color has an advantage in America.
You're just misconstruing my argument. I'm not saying that Muslims are not oppressed or SCST, OBC are not oppressed or blacks are not oppressed. Mm-hmm. I'm saying all of them are very much oppressed. I'm just saying reservation doesn't deal with that problem properly. And affirmative action is the answer. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. So I will need to understand more about the details of affirmative action and how it is different from a reservation in order
to... It's just
to
one, on a case-on-case basis. So if person is black, they will also look at the person's, okay, how much the family earns. They will also look, are the people, are his parents educated? So let's say an Obama's daughter will get less of a preference over an orphaned, very poor white guy, even though in reservation, they'll not make a distinction.
Yeah, so this is a familiar old argument that we hear in India about how reservation should be on the basis of economic conditions.
And I'm not saying that. You're again misconstruing my argument. I'm just saying it should be on a case-to-case basis. So economics, the parents are educated or not, a myriad of factors.
What are your views about the feasibility of it being on a case-to-case basis? Like a single university can look at all the applicants and come to conclusions about it on a case-to-case basis, right? But then you also have cases where the choosing faculty in the university itself is casteist in India. They make distinctions on the basis of their preconceived notions about how much advantage someone has had in life. When the president of India goes to a temple, they're made to stand outside the chamber of where the DT is because of their caste. So caste is such an ingrained part in India, an ingrained part of the way we look at reality in India, that a case-by-case basis seems like it will still leave out a lot of people. I'll be the first person to admit that there may be false positives and false negatives, right? But the fear of false positives and false negatives should not prevent us from making policy that is more general in nature. Go on.
No, you were saying something.
Go on.
So I think this is a very, very philosophical argument. It's a populist argument where there's no one true I, where every person has a bias. But that doesn't take away from the case-on-case basis, where in theory, at least in theory, affirmative action is much, much better. I can agree that in India, because the population is so large, because the seats are so large, and there's too many problems as a country in India's education system, it might not work, and maybe reservation is a cop-out from the real things we have to do. But I'm just talking about theoretically.
Which is? Well, I would be interested to know what you think, which is the real thing we have to do. What is that real thing?
The real thing we have to do is, let's say our country is much less populated. We should be able to do affirmative action where an upper caste orphaned child who's like, let's say his arm is cut off, should be given a reservation more advantages over an SC student who is some politician's son and has guns in his house. Like, you know, the people.
But
in
surely,
India.
Surely, Sarthak.
Yeah.
If there's a child with an arm cut off, there are already measures in place to help someone like that, right? Why does that have to impinge upon caste-based reservation? Why are we working under the assumption?
I'll give another example where there won't be a...
No, I'm saying, listen. If there is someone with a physical handicap, if there is someone with an absence of money, if there is someone who's disadvantaged in 17 other ways, there are other schemes which take care of them, right? Why does their welfare have to impinge upon caste-based reservation, which is about a very specific thing?
I don't know about any other advantage given to any other of the 17 categories. Maybe I'm very, very ignorant about it.
Yeah, so I think there is already measures for poverty alleviation in India. There are also laws that make life easier for people who don't have access to family resources. There are also, I'm sure there must be, a lawyer might be a better person to talk about this. It is not as if the only concessions being made in Indian society and Indian law are for people from marginalized castes. We have other measures in place for other things. I'm saying when we talk about welfare, why does it always seem like you give the poor something, you give the you give women something, you give these people something, and then if you have something left, you can give it to the people with the background, backward castes.
That's again, my point. Like, you're just again and again misconstruing. I'm not against people giving the disadvantaged something. I'm just saying Obama's daughter of one of my politician's friend's son should not get something because they're not deserving for that space. And again,
if Obama's daughter, okay. How about this? Obama's daughter applies to a college where the majority is white.
Yeah.
Right. And the faculty is completely white, and the people who are in charge of choosing students are also white.
Yes.
Does she deserve a little bit of a consideration there?
No, because another black student who is much more disadvantaged should get that consideration.
There is no other black student. There is just her and all this whiteness.
Okay, in that hypothetical scenario, yes, I would say yes. Yes.
We are like, so don't, you have been given plenty of hypothetical scenarios. I gave you one. I'm saying that within specific context, you haven't. You just told me about this poor upper caste kid with whose arm is cut off.
No, let's just say, because you're saying that, because let's say when I was applying to my IITs or my NITs or my SRCCs, so there was only SC, ST, OBC, general. There was no orphan child. There was no, your family is very,
orphan,
very poor.
See, listen, orphan child is not a, orphan child is not a socially marginalized background. There is no community of orphaned children. It happens.
That's
it is something
reservation.
That it is. Mm-hmm. It is necessarily something that happens on a case by case basis. I have. It appears to me that I have not been misconstruing your argument at all, because the thrust of your argument is that welfare needs to happen. There are plenty of poor people. All the poor people needs to be treated the same, and you're kind of closing your eyes to the fact that even within this poor person and that poor person, there is an additional disadvantage that the second guy has on account of their caste.
No, I'm not saying all poor people should be given advantage. I'm saying all disadvantaged people should be given advantage. And in that disadvantaged word, there are 17 factors, out of which caste is one, out of which your color is one, at least in the US, and economic factors are one. 17 others, orphanage, or how educated your parents are, multiple factors. So I'm saying disadvantaged people should be given consideration, not like...
Nobody is disagreeing with the fact that disadvantaged people should be given consideration. But you are making a distinction between disadvantaged person one and disadvantaged person two, and saying that this disadvantage is overriding the conditions that arise out of that disadvantage.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying.
No, it doesn't. It does not.
I think if anyone does a good faith argument in this, like an Obama's daughter should be given less consideration considering a white child from...
Already went to that example. If Obama's daughter is going to be the thing that you argue on, you have to put her in a situation where all her advantages are neutralized on account, and the only difference that remains is on the basis of her skin color.
No, then the white person should also have a neutralized advantage.
In a college where every faculty member and every student is white?
No, where every one person has educated parents, whereas himself has...
I'm saying in every other way, everyone is equal, except that Obama's daughter is not white.
No, again.
Yeah, so
Obama's daughter.
Yeah, we're going in circles now. Sarthak, thank you for coming.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. That was Sarthak. I can take one more person, and I have three people. So let me just, there's one person whose devices are not connected. We can, I think, let me go and check if they, Casual says, so there is Casual, there is S. Chakraborty, and there is K. Let me remove Casual and S. Chakraborty and just take K, because there is no time left. Casual's argument is something that has been made previously. S. Chakraborty ka devices are not connected. Let's take K. Hi, K. K?
Yeah, Vimo, hi.
Hey, what's up?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's up? Kis baare mein baat karna tha?
Yeah, so before I start speaking, I just want to appreciate you for all the work you're doing. Because... for me, it is really inspiring, for me to research even more, to study even more, to possibly even start a channel of my own. So thank you for that. Thank you for being like one of the very few voices. I was binging your videos, and I came across some videos, and I had some disagreements with some of the things you said, right? For example, said that... So, for example, you have said that, reading scriptures isn't really compulsory because even the person who is asking you hasn't read their scripture, which is true. I agree with that. But the problem is, see, when you look at caste system, right, or when you look at the philosophy of the Gita, or when you look at other things, you have to, at least in my opinion, understand that, okay, these stem from an authority and these stem from somewhere. Okay, there is a source to all this. Right. So when you debate with people who actually know their stuff, Hindus actually know their stuff, they will say that, oh, no, you know, there is this verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says that everyone is basically grouped into different varnas based on their, you know, gunas and karma. Right. But when you actually read the Bhagavad Gita, you understand that it is not the guna and karma of this life, but a sort of combination of all the lives, right? So you will not get the you will not get this context right without reading the Gita, right? And if you take the case of Dr. Ambedkar, go ahead. Okay.
No, I am saying that advice was not for every atheist. That advice was not for atheist content creators. It was for general atheists. You do realize that plenty of atheists don't get into arguments, right? Plenty of atheists don't have YouTube channels. They don't post atheism-related content. They're just atheists. They don't believe in God and they go on with their life. So for them, my thing was, if someone is pressuring you to read religious texts, just know that you don't have to. That's all. If someone is in the business of having conversations about it, they should most definitely read religious texts. In fact, they will be the only ones who are reading it because a religious guy is not going to do it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's fine. But just with regards to atheists who debate, atheists who discuss, right? Atheists who have like very hardcore theists in their family, they have to have something to back on, right? Because if you see in America, if you see in the West, right? If you like, at least people who debate with other Christians, because like they're all Christian dominated, they know some very bad verses in the Old Testament, right? And that is how they've been able to sort of repudiate this whole religion. Because, you know, if anyone says Jesus loves you, Christianity is full of love, they'll point to Exodus 21, which has, you know, verses on how to treat slaves, right? So we need that for Hinduism as well, right? Because that's what I'm saying, right? See, Manusmriti, it is, I mean, obviously exposed by Dr. Ambedkar and other people, but we need more, you know, criticism against Gita, against Ramayana, against Mahabharata, because that is what these people are pushing.
And I'm totally in favor of people studying those texts in order to form those arguments. The thing that you're disagreeing with, I said about general atheists, not people who are having debates. If you're having debates, as I said, you should definitely read as much as you can. But even then, I would say you don't have to read everything. Because listen, if someone is saying, I support caste-based discrimination, and you say, that's a terrible thing. Sorry, I'm speaking a little slow because I bit my tongue. It hurts. Someone says they support caste. You say, that's terrible. And they say, but the Bhagavad Gita, it doesn't matter what is in the Bhagavad Gita. You can still say this is a hideously terrible practice that you should not support.
I agree.
Yeah, sure. If you read the text, you will have an additional argument. But even without it, you're still standing on pretty strong ground when you say this is a hideous practice and nobody should support it.
I agree. And also with regards to the tongue biting, I think Krishna has probably didn't like you talking about the Gita. So.
No, I bit this in the afternoon when I was asleep. It happened in my sleep. So it's kind of
starting. You knew what you were going to say in... So more thing. Actually, I've been very interested in studying Hinduism, right? I think from age 16, now I'm 20 to 23, I've been studying different scriptures. I've been studying analysis of these scriptures, right? Interpretations, Bhashya, which is the commentary and everything. And what I found was I'm a South Indian. In many of these scriptures, I think many people will be sort of surprised that the area that we live in, right, below the Vindhya Mountains, that area is sort of considered to be Mlecha Desha. So, you know, place where the barbarians live. And this I sort of find very disturbing because these people who are believing so ardently in Hinduism and these people who vote on the basis of Hinduism do not know that their own scriptures are seeing them as Mlechas, as, you know, all the bad words that are there in Hinduism.
How do you suppose they manage to convince a whole lot of Dalit, Bahujan, Adivasi people that they're Hindu? Even right now, this movement is going on. We will have a government census or something. in which a certain tribal religion will be so small that they will not even count it as a category, and just they'll just lump it together with some other category, and eventually that category will be labeled Hindu, and these guys will say, yeah, sab log Hindu hai, so that the demographic advantage doesn't go away. A lot of smaller identities, tribal identities, caste identities have been subsumed into Hinduism through practices like this.
Right. And I think, in that respect,
I suppose you have a point that people should be aware of the religious text that calls them Lichcha or something.
Not necessarily, Vimo, because see, I am privileged, right? So I have access to scriptures and their translations and whatnot, right? And because I'm because I have like upper caste people surrounding me, I can read Sanskrit and, you know, sort of understand the nuances, right? I'm not saying that they should necessarily read the scriptures, but what I'm saying is, do not trust the Hindus because they are dishonest. Their gurus won't ever tell you, won't tell you a thing, right? So what you have to do is you have to read your idol's works. For example, many, you know, DBA people admire Ambedkar, right? Dr. Ambedkar. What I would want is every person should read Dr. Ambedkar, right? Because he has analyzed the Bhagavad Gita, he has analyzed the Ramayana, right? The scriptures. So, and again, what at least my, you know, sort of opinion about letting the people, in fact, everyone, right? It's not about DBA. It's about any, right? Because they have to know what is right, what is wrong, right? I feel that I can take certain snippets of these problematic verses and post it wherever I can. So I have an Instagram page. I post it there. I'm thinking of starting YouTube, posting it there. That way, you know, at least people will know. And ex-Hindu pages have been blowing up along with ex-Muslim pages. It'll take time, but yeah, people are realizing it. Hopefully, people are realizing it. My only sort of, I wouldn't say regret, but that is the psychology with humans where, you know, people only idolize Dr. Ambedkar, carry his flags, carry his images, but don't read him. Exactly. Right? You can start with Annihilation of Caste. I'm not asking anyone to read complete theses.
Yes,
but
Annihilation of Caste, by the way, is super, like, it's like one essay. It's super thin. You can start and finish it in one evening. Don't worry about it. That everyone should read it. Yeah,
exactly. Because I've posted a story about this as well, when I said that, you know, Dr. Ambedkar wouldn't feel happy with all the parties or all the sort of, I mean, I think it's being done completely similar to how Hindus celebrate Ram, right? With the flags, with the slogans and everything. DBA people are doing the exact same. Again, I'm not accusing them of something because even I have done that. But I feel that they are two completely different people, Ram and Ambedkar, right? Ambedkar has researched, he has studied. He is open to people proving him wrong, right? So I feel that is where, Dr. Ambedkar would feel very, very happy with his followers reading his stuff instead of just celebrating that he got women's rights, instead of just celebrating that he got Dalits' rights, right? Because that has to, it is not an end, bro. Like, you know, Dr. Ambedkar has done some amazing stuff, but it doesn't end there. The discrimination is still there. The atrocities are still there.
Yeah.
Right?
So, I mean, I suppose even he must have known on some level that his written works are not going to be available to everyone. So some people, simply on account of the fact that they cannot read, will have to be given certain cultural landmarks in order to attach themselves to the cause. So that may also have been a reason. Everyone should.
Yeah, but I feel the people in power. I feel the people in power, you know, especially with regards to reserved constituencies, right? When, for example, BSP is such a party, right? I feel they should, you know, handle out certain works of Ambedkar, right? Summarized and basically crisp, right? So that people know, right? Because they have the power to do that.
I think they already do. There are
some of them do. Not as one would wish.
Yeah, so I don't know about the extent of it. What I do know is that they do. And of course, I agree with you that the list of things that the BSP should do in India of 2023 is actually quite long. But let's not get into that because then this live stream will be much longer.
Yeah. Do I have time like for one more question?
I'm afraid not. Okay, make it your last one.
Okay, so my question is, like, what is your view on the horrific things that are happening in our politics? Because every new day, there is a bill that is restricting rights and you know, other things. Recently, there was this bill of appointing the election commissioner, right? Mm-hmm. And if you have read that, it's basically where the former panel.
So we talked about it a little bit in the last episode. My advice would be to have patience. A lot of these things are still to be challenged in court, and most probably they will be, including, I suppose, the clauses of this new code of law that has been brought, Bharatiya Nyaya Samhita, where they're marketing it as if they have done away with sedition, which, why, by the way, you were very happy using it a couple of years ago against children. And now you're saying human rights groups have been demanding that sedition be removed. So we remove sedition. And then they put it in this 150, where it's even worse. So this is kind of sort of like what they did with NRC and NPR.
Not even the parliament, right? I mean, the riots that happened in Nu last week, like people's houses have been demolished. Like what law in the, you know, Indian penal code allows you to,
It doesn't. They were questioned by the court. And by the way, the only reason the Haryana government is taking action against these people right now is because there is two-pronged pressure. One pressure is from the High Court, because the High Court just explicitly said, was it High Court or Supreme Court? I don't remember. But the court explicitly said, this seems to be
Punjab and Haryana High Court.
Punjab and Haryana High Court, yes. They said, this seems to be, you know, ethnic cleansing. And you better take action against it. So they started arresting some people. And today, the Bharatiya Kisan Morcha also had a huge Khap Panchayat, where they specifically said that we are not going to allow this to happen. This is not the doing of Hindus or Muslims. It is representatives of the VHP and stuff who are trying to foment trouble in our state, and we are not going to allow that to happen. So that all is also happening. Terrible things are happening, right? They've been happening for quite some time. That is the reason we had the anti-CAA protests. That is the reason we had the farmers protest. They can control some aspects of India. They can't control all aspects of India. Yes, terrible things are happening. They will happen to maybe a greater degree till the elections happen. But there are also people who are speaking against it. Opposition unity is on the rise. And there are civil rights groups and journalists and media persons also speaking about it. So while I do despair quite a bit, I also try to focus on all the sane voices that are coming out against it.
Yeah. One last point, Amoy. I'm done. I'm adding to your point. I'm happy that the international media is also, you know, at least, tackling some of the issues and reporting some of the issues. Thank you for your answers. Thank you for the discussion. It has been great. I didn't think you would agree with my first question, but thank you.
Which was the first question again? It seems like 60 years ago.
Does it? Okay. No, I was talking about, you know, do atheists have to read scriptures?
Oh, okay.
So that
appears to have been a miscommunication.
Yeah.
I was talking to different people and he thought I was talking to everyone.
My bad. Yeah, anyway, I hope to see you next week. Thank you. Yeah, bye.
Absolutely. Thank you, K. That was K, and that was the last caller. I won't be able to take any more callers today. Sorry about this, guys. I'm going to remove everyone from the queue. Please don't mind, or remove yourself and come back next week. 1 hour 22 minutes ho chuka hai, aur mujhe khana khana hai, aur phir sona hai. So sorry about this. Causal, I know you have been adding yourself back. Please don't. Aaj energy nahi bachi hai. Agle hafte baat karenge. Before I go, I'll just read a couple of super chats that have come in. Ajay Kedar, thank you for the 200 rupees super chat. Ajay says, Parley G live, please. What? I don't know what that means. Parley G live. Acha, biscuit khaunga live pe. Nahi, main khane wala, ice cream nahi karne wala. I look like a slob when I'm eating. No, I chew very weirdly. My friends make fun of me, so you will never see me eat. Apurv, thank you for the 200 rupees super chat. Apurv also says, Parley G live. Main Parley G ki to baat hi nahi kar raha tha. Main cream biscuits khane wala hun. Orange cream biscuits. You think I have one day in the month to eat good food? I'm going to eat Parle Ji. I'm going to do some heavy duty eating tomorrow. Amit says, Vimo's phrase of the day is thrust of the argument. I'm reminded of this famous dialogue from a James Bond movie where Rosamund Pike and Halle Berry are talking about Pierce Brosnan. And one of them says, I think I got the thrust of it. And I think he's sleeping with one of them. Chikur Chuchum, thank you for another 100 rupee. Chikur Chuchum says, I think caller is talking about applying creamy layer in SCST. And by the way, physical handicap quota is already there. Yeah, that was my point. One of the things that people opposed to reservations always trying to bring up is that there are so many disadvantages. Why are you only focusing on caste? And my point always has been that the caste-based reservation system is for a very specific problem. It is about caste-based inequality. There are other problems in society. Nobody is denying it. And there are other things that are done for it. You don't need to put one disadvantaged person against another disadvantaged person in order to make your point about how this disadvantage should be given priority. And it's only done when people are not either fully sympathetic to or aware of the kind of inequalities that caste creates in society. Like that Obama's daughter example was such a sad thing. Just because I've heard versions of it before. I've heard versions of, you know, acha, agar Musliman society mein ye nahi hai, advantage nahi hai, to Shah Rukh Khan star kaise bana? Shah Rukh Khan star hai, isliye proof hai ki Musliman ke khilaf koi violence nahi hota. Acha, theek hai. To let me just find one, you know, famous black actor like Will Smith and then come to the conclusion that racism doesn't exist. It's such a weird thing. And that guy kept saying, you're misrepresenting my argument. I was super patient to try to understand exactly what I was misrepresenting, but end mein dhaak ke wahi teen paate. It was the same old argument. Ajinkya, thank you for the $10 super chat. Ajinkya says, I might have sounded anti-reservation, not my intention. US style might seem better on paper, but it is prohibitively expensive. It takes around $100 to $200 to evaluate an application. Okay. So my point still was that my comparing US style affirmative action with Indian caste based reservation was only limited to the extent that they recognize that reparations and special features have to be made available to some people from some backgrounds. Sure, there are going to be differences on paper, but no harm done, Ajinkya. And thank you for the $10. The phenomenon, thank you for 100 rupee super chat. They say, Vimo, I know you don't generally watch South Indian movies, but I would like to hear your thoughts on a movie named Churuli. I genuinely think you would love it. Okay, I'll try to find it. Churuli. What is it about? You could have told me what is it about. I would have saved me some Googling. Let me just search for it. Churuli. Two undercover police officers go in search of a wanted criminal and get stuck in a village of Churuli. Okay. This sounds like a story that Ashwin will write. But okay, I'll check it out. Thank you so much. With that, we reach the end of today's live stream. People, thank you for all the super chats and all the comments and all the people who joined. Let me just remind you that if you want, you can support the channel by becoming a member by clicking the join button below. And of course, you can't send super chat now because the stream is over. But you can always click the super thanks button below and send a contribution of any amount of your choice. You can also go to my website at www.vimo.in and click the support button there to make a contribution. There's no membership. It's a one-time thing. So feel free. You can also send money directly through Vimo at UPI. V-I-M-O-H at the rate UPI. I will repeat what I said in the beginning. It is only for people who want to pay and can pay. If you're not in a position to pay, you don't have to. It's okay. It's perfectly all right. I don't want to be an extra expense in your already, stressful financial life. So don't worry about it. If you can pay, pay. If you can't, you don't have to. And for everyone who does pay, thanks in advance. The live stream will continue to be free for as long as humanly possible. Arey log abhi click kar rahe hain yaar. Join karna band karo. Main aur baat nahi kar sakta. Live stream is ending. I'll see you guys on Wednesday when we will talk about. I'll be reading comments and stuff, and face to face conversations will happen on Saturday. And until then, please take care of yourselves. I will be eating a lot of good food tomorrow. So really looking forward to it. And in order for that to happen, I have to sleep early. So thanks. Chalo. Who is this K who keeps coming back here? Stop adding yourself. I will not talk anymore. Chalo. Bye-bye. Good night. Take care of yourselves.